And greetings to each of you this morning. This morning, you can turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. I was reading this week this account. It has to do with Balak, and Balaam. Story that we all know quite well, I think. And it's a story that's perplexed me for many years. Most of my years, I guess. Because I heard sermons on it, and it seemed like Balaam was always made out to be the bad guy. And as I read it, as you read the words, as the Bible records it, it's like, well, what did he do wrong? He seemed like a pretty good guy to me. He listened to God. But then as you dig into it, and then as you read other scriptures relating to and referring to Balaam and his life, then it gives a little different picture. And so some of this, what I have this morning, is someone else's thoughts, but I think they fit quite well. I'm not going to read it because it's actually chapters 22 through 24 that I probably will cover. But I will relate a fair amount of the story simply to get us the setting of it and to what really is happening here and so on. Before I get into talking a little bit more about Balaam. I title it, Beware of the Greed of Balaam. The children of Israel found themselves in their journey through the wilderness, traveling to many different cities, many different places. And if you go back to chapter 21, they just finished defeating the Sion, king of Moab. King of Heshbon. I'm not sure what country that was. But anyway, as they traveled along at a couple different places, God said, go ahead and destroy these people. And don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. And so they did. They conquered them. And so obviously the people, the nations around, the kings were aware of what's taking place. And seeing this, and so we get into chapter 22, and it's Balak, the son of Zippor, which is the king of Moab. And so he sees all this, and he sees this big group of people, and he knows what happened to the others, and he's like, we can't conquer them. We don't know. We can't handle them. We're afraid. And so he gets some of his messengers, and he sends them down to this guy, Balak. And Balak and Balaam. I probably will get that a little interchanged there, but I'll try to keep them straight. Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, and I don't know much about him otherwise, but obviously he was a person that was well known, and to do divination, is that right? Okay. And obviously that's not a good thing. God said, told the children of Israel they were not to do that or be a part of that. But anyway, so Balak sends messengers and he sends money and he sends gifts down to try to entice Balaam to come up. And his idea is to put a curse on these people so that they won't be able to defeat them and take over the people of Moab, because they knew that they couldn't do this of their own, themselves. And so these men go down there, and Balaam receives them, and he says, well, why don't you stay overnight, and I'll see what God has to say by morning, and then I'll give you an answer. So they did. The next morning, God had told him, met with him during the night, said, don't go with them. And so he tells the men, go on back to your country, because I'm not going. God said I shouldn't go. So they left, they went back, and of course Balak wasn't happy with that. And so he sent more messengers, or more important people, and more money and more gifts, and surely Balaam will come this time. And so they go down again, and they meet there, and it's the same story. Balaam says, well, wait till morning. I'll see what God has to say, and then I'll give you an answer. And so God met with him, and he asked him who these men were and why they're there. And that was the first time, actually. But so he said, no, go ahead. Go with them this time. And but he said in verse 20, in chapter 22, it says, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But we see that he didn't wait. If you read on, he just made up his mind. He got up in the morning, he got his donkey ready, and he went with them. And so they left. But on the way, things didn't go so well. As he was riding his donkey and through the wilderness, through the field, wherever it was, they had a path. And all of a sudden, this donkey diverted off the path, and probably quite suddenly. And Balaam's like, what's going on here? And so he hit the donkey and said, you should not do, anyway, whatever he said. But he was not happy with what the donkey did. So they got back on the path going again. They came to this vineyard where there was a wall, or it was tight on each side. And it actually was a wall on each side. And so again, the donkey saw something and he spooked. And he put Balaam's foot into the wall. You can imagine that probably didn't feel well. And so, what are you doing, donkey? I mean, what's with you? And so he struck him again. And so they went on a little further. And it was again a tight spot where there was no moving. He couldn't go forward, backward, or sideways. And again, then the donkey just laid down. And then that really, I think it probably really aggravated Balaam by this time. What a stupid animal. He said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right here. And the donkey, then God opened the donkey's mouth. And he said, what have I done? Haven't I carried you all these different places all these times? Haven't I done what you wanted me to do? And Balaam had to admit he did. I've never done anything like this before, so why are you hitting me these three times? Then God opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw what the donkey had seen. He saw God's angel with a sword, a sword, standing there. An angel goes on to say, if the donkey hadn't, let me read that so I get it right. I think it's verse 33. Actually, let's back up a little bit. In 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. And so, actually the donkey was saved Balaam's life that day. And so Balaam repents and he says, if you don't want me to go on, I'll go back home. But the angel says, no, go, but only say the things that I tell you to say, that I put in your mouth. And so he did. And so the story goes on. He comes to Balak, and he was glad to see him, and so on. And so they built these altars, and they did this three times. They put these seven altars, put animals on them, sacrificed them, and so on. And Balak would go away and see what God would have him say, and he'd come back and he'd quote a poem, somewhat of a poetic saying, and it was not cursing the children of Israel. That's what Balak wanted, but it was actually a blessing to the children of Israel, and Balak didn't like that. And so they would go to another place, and he did it again. And it's the same thing happened. And then the third time again. So at the end, the third time, trying to see where that is. It's in chapter 23. Verse 8, I'll start there anyway. Balaam says, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." This is actually the poetic thing that he was reciting, "and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And Balak said unto Balaam, "What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether." No, that was the second time, I'm sorry. It's later on there in about verse 27. No, I'm sorry, that's still not. It's later in chapter 24 it is, I guess. But anyway, in verse 10 in chapter 24, "And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor." Then Balaam goes on to again do a poetic quotation or a saying. And then in verse 25, he rose up and returned to his, Balaam went to his place and Balak went his way. It didn't work. Anyway, it was a wasted time for them. Balaam was believed to have been at one point a prophet of God. Now, I don't know, that's what I read, and I don't know where you would read that or find that out. But supposing it was, and what happened? How did he go wrong? What happened to him that he turned into this thing of, he was, and I'm going to go, there's 7 points or characteristics about Balaam that I want to talk about a little bit. The first one, as I mentioned earlier, he was famous. He was well known. Balak knew where to turn to find a person like this to come and to do divination. And that's simply the practice of trying to foretell the future or the unknown. So he was hoping to hear that, yeah, you're going to beat these people. Don't be worried about it. There won't be a problem. But that's not what happened. Numbers 22:5-6. Talks about that. Number two, he was self-willed. Numbers 22:12-22. And in verse 20, and I read that already, he didn't wait for the men to call him. He just went, got ready, and went. So from the beginning, Balaam, I believe, if we read through the story and really, and I'll get into some other scriptures that will help us understand that, I believe, but he had his mind made up that somehow in all this, he was going to get some money, because the other scriptures bring that out, that he was a greedy person, and he loved money. And so, but at the same time, he was very notable in what he told the men when he came the second time. He said, "Even if Balak gave me his house completely filled with silver and gold, I still wouldn't go with you." So that's putting on a pretty good front. It sounds very good. But in his heart, I believe that maybe he would have loved to have that. He would have loved to have them gifts if he could have somehow have done that. Selwyn Hughes talks about many times in his readings or his writings that I read, he talks about connecting the head with the heart. With so many people, and he's done a lot of counseling, and he finds where people, they want something or they pray something with their head, but in their heart they really don't want it. So there's not a connection, there's not a coordination, and so they can't, and they wonder why their life is like it is. And so he tries to help them with that. And as we think of that, sometimes we are that way as well. And I think Balaam was that way. In his head, he knew better, but in his heart, he had this greed. He wanted this money. He wanted to do it. He wanted the fame, whatever was involved in it. He really wanted to curse these people. That was really his goal. But God wouldn't let him. Very self-willed. Number three, he was saved from destruction by his beast, the donkey. Number four, he was double-minded. He was eloquent in prophecy, but presumptuous in seeking to alter the divine plan. And that's Numbers 23 and 24, both as you read that. Three times Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, but he wouldn't do it. He blessed them instead. Number five, he was sent home. His mission, a failure. 24, 10, and 11. I read verse 10. Number six, he was an evil counselor. That's in Numbers 31, 16. I'm going to read that. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. This is Moses talking, and here again, the children of Israel had just gone out and fought with the Midianites, and they were told to destroy all them, but they saved the women and the children and so on. And so Moses is reprimanding them because why did you do this? This is why we had this plague before, and it was through the counsel of Balaam, through that spirit, that that they sinned against God, and God brought this plague upon them. Number seven, his besetting sin was avarice. I guess if I say it right. Excessive greed for money. 2 Peter